Archbishop Chaput, my brother priests, deacons, beloved seminarians, consecrated women and men, my dear friends in Christ. Recently, I was invited to appear on a nationally syndicated Catholic radio program called Catholic Answers Live out of San Diego. And it's a call-in program, so people across the country who are listening can participate. And this particular show was only for non-Catholics. In fact, they screened the callers so that only non-Catholics were allowed to be on the radio. And it was really an opportunity for non-Catholics, our brothers and sisters, to ask a Catholic bishop, me, any question they wanted or were curious about. I suppose since I'm a convert to the Catholic faith, they thought I would be a good person to answer those questions. There were Protestants who called in, there were a young Jewish man called in, there were a couple of atheists, all sorts of people from various faith backgrounds and no faith at all. And it was really a good forum, and I enjoyed it very much. One caller who was not a Christian asked the question, why did God choose such a violent and brutal act of murder to save the world from sin? Couldn't God have chosen a less offensive and less disturbing way of saving the world? Wow, that was a good question. Of course, the easy answer is yes, God could have saved us any number of ways. But he chose to send his son to offer himself as a perfect sacrifice for sins. And that is a mystery known only to God. Next caller, please. No, I didn't say that. That would have been the easy answer. But the question really deserves more of an explanation and merits a deep reflection for all of us, especially today on Good Friday, when we celebrate the passion and death of the Lord, and when we listen to that wonderful and profound account from St. John of the passion and death of Jesus. Two responses came to my mind when I was fielding this question, and there are many other responses I thought of afterwards, like always, but the Holy Spirit did give me two ways to respond. And the first thing that came to mind was that the story of the passion and the death of the Lord didn't occur in a vacuum. Jesus suffered and died for us in a historical context. Jesus was a Jewish rabbi and came from a devout Jewish family and community. And he was steeped in a Jewish culture. The concept and practice of blood sacrifice as a liturgical offering for the remission of sins was a very familiar and important element in Old Testament Judaism. The temple and the altar, going all the way back to Moses and even before, was a sacred place for animal sacrifice as prescribed by the Word of God, especially in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and was part of the religious culture of the people of Jesus' day. We also have that line from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. All of the apostles and the early church fathers stressed that animal blood sacrifice was a preparation for the bloody sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the perfect and innocent Lamb of God on the altar of the Holy Cross. All of the ritual sacrifice in the religion of the Old Testament was a foreshadowing and preparation for the one true and eternal sacrifice of the Son of God, the Lamb of God, which would take away the sins of the world once and for all. The sacrifice to end all sacrifices. St. Fulgentius of Ruspe, writing in the 5th century, put it like this: the sacrifices of animal victims, which our forefathers were commanded to offer, foreshadowed the most acceptable gift of all. This was the offering which, in his compassion, the only Son of God would make himself in his human nature for our sake. End of quote. So this first point, we can see how the bloody sacrifice and offering of victims for sin was part and parcel of the religious imagination of the Jewish people. And in the Mass we say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This was filled with meaning for the Jewish people. I might add that this sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, which we just commemorated from St. John, this holy sacrifice endures through time. Endures through time through the unbloody sacrifice of the Holy Mass, so that the holy sacrifice of the cross and the holy sacrifice of the Mass are one and the same. The second response, I didn't quote St. Fulgentius Ruspe to that caller because I didn't have that, but that's basically what I said. The second response that came to mind, which I gave to the questioner who wondered why God would ask his Son to lay down his life for us through such a brutal and violent death, is the fact that by doing this, Jesus has given us an example of total self-sacrificing, self-giving love, which we are called to imitate. Jesus acted out for us, as it were, what he meant when he said, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend." And he followed these words by saying, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends." So in his sacrificial passion and death on the cross, he was modeling for us what true and self-giving love was all about. Loving to the end, even to the point of death. St. Augustine wrote, quote, "As Christ laid down his life for us, so we in our turn ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." And then he quotes St. Paul, "Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we might follow in his footsteps." End of quote. These responses are by no means exhaustive to the question, why did God choose the way of a bloody sacrifice of his Son to save us from our sins and redeem the world? But it does give us something to reflect upon on this Good Friday. And I think it reveals to us an inner logic and consistent application of the passion of death of Jesus as a means for our salvation. Amen.